Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The Gospel of Luke, 20th chapter, verses 27 through 38. These words of the Lord. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked Jesus a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. Here ends the reading. May we pray. These words, O Lord, are your words for your people. Bless each heart and each ear and each mouth that says these stories and believes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus has entered into the city. His disciples, according to the book of Mark, is the one who led him in, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Those are words that we hear during Palm Sunday. In Luke's gospel, they come from the disciples of Jesus, not the crowd. The disciples bring in Jesus, believing that he is coming in to bring in the kingdom. He is their answer to their prayers, so that Rome will now be set aside and that the kingdom of God will reign in real peace. Not Roman peace, but real peace will now reign on the earth. That is their hope. That is the zealots' hope. There are some disciples at this time that was looking for the new Moses that would deliver them from sin and death as Moses had done in Egypt. So there are two different kinds of messiahs being looked for. Jesus is going to fulfill one in the beginning and fulfill the other in the second coming. But these people welcome Jesus in. And of course, from there, you and I recall where he goes. He goes to the temple, you will recall. And there he sees something that he doesn't like. In the foyer where the Gentiles are welcomed. In the foyer where the Gentiles pray. Not where the Jews go, or in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest is only allowed. But in that place where only the Gentiles were allowed to go and pray, there were cows, sheep, goats, chickens, birds. It was like going to Walmart and trying to pray. Not that the line would go faster, but that you would have time and a motivation to pray while you're at Walmart with all of the noise. That's what was going on in the temple, and that's what Jesus got upset about. That's why he cleaned shop. That's why he said, my Father's house will not be a den of thieves. It will be a house of prayer. The ducks, the goats, the chickens, the sheep, the cows, all of the sacrificial animals was in the Gentile part of the temple, keeping them from praying in order to make money to support the temple. There are important things in life. Keeping the temple open and supported, that is very important. But at the expense of people, I think not. Nor did Jesus. But brothers and sisters, if there is one thing that got Jesus hung on the cross, if there was one thing that got Jesus on the cross, it was dealing with the Sadducees, M-O-N-E-Y. Because you see, the Sadducees were in charge of the temple. They were in charge of the beliefs in the temple. They were in charge of the sacrifices in the temple. They were over the temple, but they were also in bed with the king. Whenever God would send a prophet because the people weren't listening, he wouldn't send the priest. He would send a prophet who also needed to speak to the king and the priest. Two needing to realign their lives because they were both going in the wrong direction. But they couldn't stand to more than 3 days. That's why a prophet can't stand more than 3 days. If a prophet stays more than 3 days, you know he's not a prophet. Because you and I can't stand him more than 3 days. The Sadducees, of all people, who were over the temple. Over the temple. Listen to this. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Can you believe that? In charge of the temple, where you bring sacrifices, where the word is read, they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. There was a reason. They only believed in the first 5 books of Moses. That's the Pentateuch. And they could not find in those first 5 books anything that talked about God believing in the resurrection of the dead or anything that alluded to that. They read the 5 books of the Bible, the 5 books of Moses, the law of Moses, and nowhere in that could they find anything where God talked about God being the God of the living. They didn't read it. They didn't see it. That's why they came up with the question for Jesus. They wanted to back him up in a corner and catch him in a lie. They wanted to trick him. They wanted to fool him. They wanted to make him look like a fool. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I've read about somebody trying to make Jesus look like a fool, somebody else has turned about looking like a fool. If someone tries to get Jesus to think that he doesn't know what he's talking about, Jesus somehow seems to say things that makes the other person look like they don't look like they know what they're talking about. The Sadducees believe that when you're dead, you're dead. Can you believe living a life that way? Can you imagine what funerals would be like if you and I believed the dead were dead? Well, there he goes. Wouldn't much of it. Won't much be remembered about it, but there he goes. There she is. There she goes. Never more to roam. She's gone. Wow. What kind of funeral could you have if you didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead? Here's a song that I guess Miss Annie would have to learn to play. Dun, dun, ta-dun. Dun, ta-dun, dun, 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 dun. I guess that would be the benediction. I know of nothing else to say. I don't know how cheerful. I guess Annie could cheer it up a little bit, or Gwen, or whoever our musicians are at the time. But that's pretty much a done deal. Whenever I read this story, my mind goes probably on rabbit trails. I hear about the question of resurrection, but I also think about me and Mary, about being married. Do you think you'll still be married when you go to heaven? I mean, Can you imagine going to heaven and death us do part? It's over. My grandmother wore her wedding ring even after my grandfather was shot and killed. She never married again because she thought she was still married. There are some who hold that belief. Then there are those who marry again. They find that they've got a lot of life to give, so they give a life and have a good life and celebrate a life with another who also has a life to give. It's a wonderful thing. You and I oftentimes wonder, well, when she dies or when he dies, where will they bury him? Next to the first husband? Second husband? Between the first and second one? Where will she go? If they're in the military, will they bury her on top of him or will they bury her below him? It's questions that we have. They're important questions. I mean, they make us think of these things. I mean, even in the biblical times, even in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of the law that the Sadducees believed, if a man married a woman and they were childless and he died, the brother was obligated, as well as the woman, to marry him so that they could have a child and take upon the man's name and continue on with his name. Mary hopes I never die. That's why she was praying so hard 2 years ago. But we were taking care of women who couldn't do anything else when the husband passed. That was her only net in which to be caught in was another man. Well, they didn't believe in such, so they thought they'd make Jesus look like a fool, so they created this story about seven husbands and one wife and none having a child and then her dying and then who was going to be her husband. I know many who believe that our marriage will carry on in heaven. That may be true. I know some who are married who have no children who believe that their marriage will carry on into heaven. I know some single people who've never had a wife or a husband who believe that as a church they'll be the bride and Jesus will be their groom and they'll live in that kind of marriage. I know a lot of people who have different ideas about when we die, how our relationships will continue on. We begin thinking about those things. But Luke wants you and I to know something. He wants us to know something more than just who will be our wife and who will be our husband. Luke wants you and me to know that when we die, we're not dead. Luke wants you and me to know that when we close our eyes for the last time, that's not the last time. Luke wants us to know that when we breathe our last, it's not the last. That when they put our body in the ground, that's not where it will stay. And Jesus made sure that the Sadducees turned in their book of the law of Moses and saw where it also spoke that. Because Jesus reminded the Sadducees that when Moses went to that burning bush, the bush said, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. What shall I tell the Pharaoh whom you're sending me to? Who sent me? Tell him, I am sent you. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Joseph. I am the God of the living and not of the dead. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, it may be hard for you and I living in this world to believe that when we bury someone, that isn't the end. It may be the end in this world. But the end of this world opens up a new beginning of the next world. Because at the burning bush where Moses met the Almighty God, the bush was on fire. Do you remember? The bush was on fire. Do you also remember what the text said about the bush? It said the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. It didn't destroy it. Brothers and sisters, there's only one you and there's only one me. And when God puts His Spirit in you and me, there is a work to be done that only you and I are called to do, that no one else can do but you and me. And He will do it perfectly through you and me, because no one has our fingerprint, no one has our voice print. We are uniquely us. And that's how God made us. I'll never forget a Jewish rabbi who was asked by one of his Jewish congregants, "What will the God of this world say to me in the end of time?" And the rabbi said, "The God of this universe will say, 'Why weren't you more like you?' Not 'Why weren't you more like Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob?' But why weren't you more like you?" Brothers and sisters, be who you are, made alive in Christ. And I will try to be who I am, made alive in Christ. For it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.